And welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. Got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, Nomad, until he finally found a place. Jody, what's up, Joe?
What's good, bro? You know, we're finally back. I know we said it last time, inadvertently, but now we are able to roll weekly. Finally got, you know, situated, got my setup rolling. You see, I got the mic this time. Last time, I was just rocking the AirPods. So, hopefully, it sounds a little bit better, you know? And, you know, first things first, you're back with football. How'd your high school game go this past weekend?
We haven't played a game yet.
Another scrimmage.
We had two scrimmages. Our first game is next week, next Friday. We're looking good. I think brought a lot of the kids back that we had last year who were able to make that, you know, playoff run.
So that's huge.
Feels like this team is, if they don't get complacent and satisfied with what they did last year, this team could be pretty good. I think, you know, defensively through the two scrimmages, we only gave up one touchdown.
No, that's good.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we played 71 defensive snaps in those two scrimmages combined, so basically a game's worth of snaps and one touchdown. Now, neither offense was like super tough, I would say, but it's still encouraging to see that, you know, we've made that kind of progress. So I'm excited. I think we look good. We have a really tough opponent this week. They beat us last year. So I'm really excited to see us play in a real game where things matter. There's stakes and we're going to be competitive. So yeah, I mean, we've got our work cut out for us in week one. We got to play a wishbone offense. So those are always fun. Yeah.
I was going to say, was the setup like half the field for both teams or full field? How did that look?
Scrimmage wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically we did kind of a JV portion and then a varsity portion where you went 15 and 15 and then a live quarter.
Okay.
In the live quarter, we won 20-0.
Nice. That's
so cute. And we forced like four takeaways. So okay. I mean, we did a really good job on defense in the live quarter. During the 15 play set, that's when we gave up our touchdown, and it was like, it's okay. And then the week before, we didn't give up any touchdowns. So
nice. Hell yeah.
Once again, we look good. There's small mistakes to clean up, but the mistakes we're cleaning up are night and day, smaller and easier than where we were at this point last year. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are a lot more oiled up this year compared to last year, where it was like some weeks you look good, other weeks it was like, we kind of lost this one to someone we should have beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be at this point before season starts is nice.
I mean, our tackling is much better in year two. Schematically, we're able to do more, you know, I mean, because kids retain so much from last year. So I'm allowed to be a little bit more creative, which is always kind of fun.
Yeah.
But this week against a team that runs wishbone football, really not a whole lot of creativity. It's just do your job and do it. Right, 60 snaps, because that's what you're going to see. Of just you got to make 60 tackles because they're not going to put the ball in the air like hardly at all.
I was going to say, just so you, back
it's tough old school football. So, but I think the kids are ready for that challenge. So I'm excited.
Nice. That's good. Real briefly before we continue, did you watch any college yesterday?
I did.
Did you watch the Florida State game?
It was glorious. I loved every second of it. I was so excited.
Our guy DJ Ugalele got toasted on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I just want to say, the problem, DJU is not really that bad. He was just the number one ranked recruit in his class, and he went to Clemson, and he was replacing Trevor Lawrence, and he didn't live up to that. But, I mean, I don't think DJU is the reason they lost yesterday. I mean, he when it was 21-14 and the game was on the line, he went down and scored to tie the game, mm-hmm. and then never got the ball back. Florida State's run defense was not good. Georgia Tech manhandled them up front. That should never happen. That should never happen.
Say, when I was watching Leon, they were getting ran all over. Which
I'm gonna be honest and say that DJU is not the reason they lost. Now, can he be better? Of course, 100%. He can be better. He was mid yesterday, as the kids would say. Okay, he was mid, but he wasn't awful, and he was not the reason they lost. Like their defense needs to stop the run. But Georgia Tech's run game. Georgia Tech's run game is diverse, and I'll give them a lot of credit. Haynes King looked good. Their running back looked good. That O-line was – they controlled the game, and that's the reason they won, because DJU tied the game 21-21 and then never saw the ball again because Georgia Tech went four-minute mode and then kicked a game winner. Like, they just knew they could control the ball, get all the way into a field goal, you know, manageable field goal range, and then kick it at the end of the game to win it, walk off.
Yeah.
So
– that's tough. That's always the worst thing in, like, Madden. You like play the game all well, you know, it's high scoring game, and then the last like 4 minutes or whatever, however long your quarters are, person just runs the ball, throws like, you know, 5 yard outs and whatnot, and then get down, kick a field goal. You're like, bro, just let me get a chance. We've been moving the ball all day, just see who scores last. You know what I mean?
Well, I think all the college football games yesterday were really good. I mean, you had, and it's even some high school games. Like, I watched everything yesterday. Florida State, Georgia Tech, great game. New Mexico versus Montana State, great game. Montana State with the comeback. Actually, it turned that one off and had to turn it back on. Montana State, FCS, putting on for the FCS with a win at New Mexico. You had the SMU-Nevada game was really good. Nevada controlled that game for 50 minutes, and then SMU just – went 15 unanswered points in the last 10 minutes to win the game, come back. You had, like I said, high school games. St. Thomas Aquinas versus Bishop Gorman was an awesome game. Bosco versus Chaminade was an awesome game. So there was plenty of football on yesterday that was enjoyable and pretty fun for week zero. That was about as good a week zero as I feel like I remember in recent memory, just because normally you get a lot of kind of like warm-up blowout games, and none of them were really that yesterday. So that's it was good. I was excited watching real football again.
I was gonna say, based off the scores from yesterday games, looks like Hawaii took out Delaware State pretty badly, but also that's a far travel regardless. Well,
and also I did not watch that game. I was gonna mention I didn't watch that game. I have no idea what happened. What you just told me makes a ton of sense though, because Delaware State had bus problems, missed their initial flight, and had to put their players on multiple flights to get there. There's no way. Like, one, they were already at a disadvantage playing at Hawaii. Like you said, it's already a far travel. They're already outmatched, like, from a talent perspective. And then you add all of that. I mean, Delaware State was not in a position to actually be competitive in the
show
game.
Up, honestly.
Yeah.
You get kids there at different times, and then the kids are all out of whack. They ain't got no sleep because the sleep sucked. Like, it's all bad.
That's a tough travel. That's a tough game in general.
Yeah. No, for sure. Let's see. Oh, speaking of Madden real quick, did you see the Madden ratings?
I did not.
All right. Well, they released their 99 club and like their team ranks and whatnot. And I remember when I was looking at it, I noticed there was like, it went from, I want to say 95 for the teams all the way down to, I don't know, say 75. With two of them being missed in there, you know, like 79 and say 86 or something, right? For team-wise. But in terms of the players, I wanted to bring that up real quick. See, we got 599 players. Christian McCaffrey. Yep, Christian McCaffrey. Great White Hope, of course. Patty Mahomes, Travis Kelce. Trent Williams and Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And then people 98.
That's,
my bad.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. 98, next one's up. We got Justin Jefferson, Lamar Jackson, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, which I believe Micah and Miles were both 99 last year. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, The only guy I might argue with is Kelce, just because he had pretty subpar regular season last year. And I don't, I mean, I know in the playoffs he really turned it on, but that might be the only one where I'm like, 99 might be like a touch high for him. But like, I mean, he's still the best tight end in the league. So yeah, that's all about right. I don't have any complaints on any of those.
No, I agree. I mean, it was, I'm just glad they shrunk the group, because I'm pretty sure 1 year they had like 10 of them. And it's like, that, there's no way. When we were growing up, we had like 99 in any category was crazy, let alone being a player overall 99.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. All right, Jody. So we have a new deal here. We're going Jody's 2 for Tuesday. I don't know if this is going to release on Tuesday. We'll see if it does.
Try to get it out for sure on Tuesday.
Okay, so if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it makes ton of sense. Jody's 2 for Tuesday. What you got, Joe?
All right, so this is going to be a season play. You can do either individual or put them together on like Prize Picks or whatever, depending on what app you use. But I'm taking, I know one of them was Derrick Henry. It's right here. 10.5 touchdowns. We're taking the over. I've seen a stat where he's done it every year in his career, and more often than not, he gets like 15. Now, granted, he's been with the Titans this whole time, so he's moving over to the Ravens, a little different. But I'm sure once they get in that red zone, they don't got to rely on Lamar too much, and they can just hand it right off to Derrick Henry. Especially being a little older, he doesn't have to carry the load all the way down the field, I'm assuming. So we're taking that one, 10.5 rushing touchdown for the season. And then just another one I think is very, very doable. Josh Allen, over 12.5 interceptions. He lost Stephon. He lost, Gabe Davis. I was going to say Vincent. I knew that wasn't the guy. That's this basketball. I was about to look like Jared from yesterday or 2 days ago in our chat. But, yeah, over 12.5 interceptions. I think that for him, when he was trying to overextend plays and try to create, that's when he gets into pick territory. And right now he doesn't really have like a true number one at the moment that we could like point our hands to. A little less skillful on the receiver core right now, so I think that he's gonna get in some trouble for that one. That's my mindset for those two plays.
I like them both. I'm with you. Josh Allen's going to have to do more this year. So I can see him being really good, but still having a higher volume of turnovers. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I like it. And your first one was Derrick Henry.
Yeah, touchdowns.
Over 10 touchdowns. 10.5. Yeah, that's really doable. He's going to get all the goal line touches. As long as he stays healthy, he should. Yeah. I like it. All right. So today, the reason you're all here, we're going to break down our offensive power rankings going into the season. And Jody and I have not talked about our rankings with each other. We do kind of know who we have ranked where, but we haven't discussed it a ton with each other. So this should be interesting.
I'm being honest. Before we continue, we wrote these down a while ago, right?
We did.
But
we did.
I don't know how I took the Ravens as high as I did looking back at it.
This will be very interesting then. You can second guess yourself as we go, I guess. You know, we'll see. I can confirm there were two teams that we agreed on their exact positioning. You can see one of them on the screen if you're watching right now, and that was the 49ers. But other than that, we're pretty we're not like far off, but there's some teams that you and I definitely are like, we really disagree on essentially where they should be, but let's get it rolling. So I think we go bar for bar, right? Ranking for ranking. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with one. Let's start with number one. All right. At number one, I have the Detroit Lions. All right. The Lions were 5th in total points in 2023. They were 3rd in yards. And you look at the playmakers that they have at every level of their offense. I mean, you start with the O-line. Penei Sewell is one of the best tackles in the NFL right now. That O-line is fantastic. Then you look at the running backs, Gibbs and Montgomery. That's quite possibly the best backfield in the NFL right now in terms of diversity and ability to do all kinds of things. Then you look at the receivers, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is one of the best slots in the league.
Sam LaPorta.
Jameson Williams, it all reports out of camp is he's starting to look really good. And then at tight end, Sam LaPorta had one of the best rookie tight end seasons we've seen in a while. And then you put that with their play caller, Ben Johnson, staying when he quite possibly should have taken a head coaching job, and instead he's back. And you put all that together with a, you know, healthy and upright Jared Goff, who can just be a maestro in this offense and get the ball to his playmakers. And we know that version of Goff works pretty well. I think the Lions have a chance to be the number one offense in the league. And when we say, you know, these rankings, to be clear, you know, there's different ways to rank offenses, right? There's total yards, total points, DVOA, all that stuff. I'm just talking about, hey, what offense do you not want to see week to week? Like, if we're just ranking them off of their ability, their floor and their ceiling, like what they are week to week. To me, the team you don't want to see if you're a defense number one right now is the Lions. That offense is electric. They can score points in a number of different ways. They move the ball well. The only way that you can really hurt the Lions is if you're able to generate pressure on Goff and speed him up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough thing to do with that O-line and that running game. So I think the Lions are number one.
Yeah, see, so I wanted to, when we did this, I wanted to text you and be like, did you do with the linemen or just skill positions? So mine are all based off just the skill. I didn't take accountability in the O-line. So that's why we're probably a little different too. Because for me, number one, I went with the Texans. The way they ended last season, making it in that little run in the playoffs, C.J. Stroud, rookie year, you know what I mean? We seen them add Joe Mixon to a backfield that I would call old last year. And then we got Stephon Diggs coming in with their young other receiving core that just balled out. I think that's a recipe for some good ball coming this year. Just, like I said, the O-line, I didn't take a factor into that one. But if they could get the ball rolling, quite literally running it, it's going to be hard to defend this defend this offense, because I think their weapons just go crazy. And we need Stephon to, you know, maybe take a backseat, not have the big presence that he did in Buffalo, where he constantly needed the ball. And I think that if they're all getting it, it's going to be high-scoring games with this team for sure.
I'm with you. I think there's a lot to love about that offense, no doubt. If their run game is better this year, I could definitely see them as one of the most feared offenses in the NFL. Number two, mine's a little controversial, I think, actually, because I kind of just mentioned when we were talking about 99 Club, it seems like their team in general is like, hey, we're just trying to get to the playoffs and then we'll do our thing in the playoffs. But
yeah, true.
Even with that, I've got the Kansas City Chiefs, all right? The infrastructure of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, one of the best play callers and by far the best quarterback in the NFL, right? Andy Reid, top five play caller for sure. Where you put him in that 1 through 5, you know, you may vary what you like, Ben Johnson, Sean McVay, like Kyle Shanahan, whatever, but he's definitely top five as a play caller. You've got Patrick Mahomes, who's, of course, the best quarterback in the league. You've got Travis Kelce, who's the best tight end in the league. Their offensive line will look a little different this year, but Creed Humphrey at center is for sure like a top five center in the league. And then last year, they struggled to run the ball as well as they did 2 years ago. I think they're going to get back to that a little bit better this year. I think Pacheco has a bigger year. And then I also love what they did at receiver, which is, They diversified a little bit. Last year, they were really dependent on the rookie from SMU, blanking on his name, Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. And then this offseason, with some of his troubles, I think it forced them to say, we need to add more guys. We can't depend on the Sky Moores and the Miko Hardmans and the Kadarius Tonys. Like, those guys just aren't going to get it done. And they went and added Hollywood Brown, who is not necessarily what I think people were hoping would be when he was drafted, but he's definitely better than those other guys I just named.
He's more
reliable. I know he's kind of hurt right now, and so we'll see what he's like when he comes back healthy, but The other guy that I'm very, very excited about, when we talked about our draft rankings at receiver, Xavier mm-hmm. Worthy was a guy I was super high on, higher on than most, because I do think he's more diverse than just take the top off. But he can take the top off, and it's very, I mean, reminiscent of Tyreek Hill. And if you insert that kind of guy back into this offense, and he's even 75% of what Tyreek Hill was, you're all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes is throwing bombs again. Teams have to play way more too high. It opens up the run game. It opens up Travis Kelce over the middle. Yeah. It maybe allows
that's when they're
guys like Rashee Rice or Kadarius Toney to be a little bit better underneath and not be so dependent, you know, on being able to create separation, because separation is created by a guy like Xavier Worthy taking the top off the defense. I think the Chiefs are going to have a bigger regular season than the last few years offensively. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, you guys could see if you're watching, I have it a little bit, maybe a lot of bit lower than that, but they're still top 10 in my book. I just, the only thing stopping them to me is themselves, the mm-hmm. off-season issues.
They got,
like you said, they got Hollywood Brown, who's kind of hurt right now, so he's got to learn the offense real quick. And then Xavier Worthy, I am excited to see him playing this, because he's going to have a beast of a quarterback to feed him the ball. Just a matter of how quickly he can make the transition, you know,
yep.
being the rookie and the ball club. But, I mean, if you got Patty Mahomes as your quarterback, there's no way he doesn't have you grinding, especially when you're coming from a place like Texas. Like, I'm sure you got that mindset anyways already, so it shouldn't be too much, just a matter of perfecting the craft as opposed to having to get jump started into something completely different. But for me, I went with the Ravens. Like I said, I don't know how I went with this here. I know, like, they got a good solid core, right? They got Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. I got Mark Andrews. Was it Zay Flowers? That's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who the other receiver is. I know they had Aguilar subbing in, OBJ. OBJ's gone. And it's like, I don't know how I came up with this here. Maybe I was Rashad that big Bateman. On. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did look good at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Maybe the Derrick Henry was like, oh, that seems like a good ball club. I don't know. But realistically, I don't think they should be this high. But, hey, that's where my mind was a couple weeks ago.
Isn't it funny how your mind, you're like, dang, I made these ratings a couple weeks ago. I don't remember what I was thinking. I definitely had to refresh myself. I looked at my stuff beforehand to, like, and actually, I think I even did change some teams around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Not in the top 10, but in the
as you get closer to the
behind. Line. Yeah, I did switch some stuff around after seeing some preseason action and some injuries and things like that. Mm-hmm. At number 3, I have the Los Angeles Rams. I think
Homer.
I think this has the potential to be the best Rams offense under McVay. And there's a few reasons why. Number 1, it's very similar to the infrastructure I just talked about with the Chiefs. You have Matthew Stafford, who, for whatever reason, continues to get disrespected, but he's at worst a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. At worst, a top 10 guy. But even, like, at his ceiling, he's a top 5 guy. Like, when he's at his best, he might be 5th, 4th, somewhere in there, best quarterback in the NFL. Sean McVay, at his ceiling, is the best play caller in the NFL. So you have that infrastructure. Okay, you look at what they did last year towards the back half of the year when Kyron Williams was healthy. Cooper Kupp was 75% healthy. Puka Nacual was who he was. Stafford was healthy. That O-line started running all kinds of duo and just mashing people up front. They started running some gap scheme stuff, mashing people up front. They've got receivers who block in the run game. You know, DeMarcus Robinson became that true X receiver for Stafford that he could go to vertically. Now you put all that together and you say, okay, they add Jonah Jackson in the offseason. They slide their guard that they picked from TCU last year into center. And all of a sudden, they have one of the beefiest O-lines in the entire NFL. They can just absolutely move people up front. And then, oh, by the way, they add Blake Corum in the draft. And now they've got Kyron Williams and Blake Corum to run the ball with. And then beyond that, like, I think that can be one of the best rushing offenses in the NFL, that tandem of that O-line and those two backs. And then you still have Stafford, Cooper Kupp, who is finally healthy and by all accounts out of camp is a man on a freaking mission to remind people who he is, coming off the Triple Crown a few years ago and now having had a couple seasons where he hasn't been completely healthy. Now he's back to healthy. You have Puka Nacua, who worked out all season with that guy. And, and you know, he had a little injury in camp, but all accounts say he'll be healthy by the start of the season. You add some different tight ends, and Higbee may be, you know, it may be a while for him, but you had like Colby Parkinson and some stuff like that.
Things about him.
And you still have guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Tutu Atwell, and then Jordan Whittington, who looked fantastic in preseason out of Texas, the other Texas receiver who people really liked when the Rams drafted him, who may be able to kind of do some things that Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp do, give them a little break here or there. You put all that together, man, I think this has a chance to be the best McVay offense in LA that he's had, with the dynamic passing game that you know you can create with Stafford and Kupp and Nacua and just drop back. But then also you add the run game into it. So now you can add the play action stuff. You can give Stafford easier throws. He doesn't have to play hero ball all the time. Dude, I think this offense, again, has a chance to be extremely special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel it. I hope Blake Corum's a beast. You know, he's going to be good subbing in for a guy, Kyren. I picked him up on a fantasy draft quite a bit if I could. I really liked him at running back. He's able to do both receiving and rushing. It's big in the game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I got them a little bit lower. I think, like I said, probably the receivers is probably what's holding me back. We haven't seen Coop as good as he has been in a couple years. And right now they're kind of looking for a third dude, you know? I heard good things about Tutu, and then I know they talked about Colby. What was his last name?
Parkinson.
Parkinson. Yeah, I heard some good things for him coming out of camp too. Especially with Higbee going to be out for at least probably like I'm gonna say at least the first 6 weeks, probably still recovering. So they definitely got some good infrastructure up there. For me, this is where I took the Lions at 3. So I don't gotta really piggyback that one too much. I could tell you in fantasy draft I almost took them at almost every position. I had Amon-Ra in the first round. I almost took Jahmyr Gibbs in the second. And then, I got Sam Laporta in, like, I don't know, the fourth or something. I was like, bro, this isn't good. I had to, like, stop myself. I was like, I just got to limit this to 2.
Don't stop yourself. That Lions offense is electric. That Lions offense is electric. Let yourself draft all of them. All right. So, number 4, we have the same team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We both picked the 49ers. For me, I'm looking at it, you know, they were 3rd in points last year. Once again, I mean, their ceiling is best offense in the NFL, right? Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams up front. Like, their ceiling is for sure best offense in the league, right? I think where my worry comes in is, you've got 2 of the guys I just named are holding out right now. Brandon Ayuk has not been in camp. Trent Williams has not been in camp.
Mm-hmm.
They're both holding out, seeking more money and or trade in Ayuk's case. Debo is always good to miss a couple games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kittle is usually plays, but he's, you know, by the middle of the year is pretty banged up. Purdy has not been exactly always healthy in his career so far. McCaffrey has had 2 really good healthy years, and I hope that continues. But, you know, it's still a worry with the running back position.
He already got banged up early on. And he's already seen some injuries.
And then Trent Williams is holding out and seeking more money, and he's not a spring chicken anymore. He's older, despite the athleticism and the freak that he is. So I think all those things combined, a little bit of a tumultuous offseason, possible Super Bowl hangover is why I have them 4th, which sounds like I'm like low on them. I'm not. They're still a top five offense for me. Like, I still believe in all the ability of all those guys. Even if one of them's hurt, they're still going to function pretty well. But just some of the unknowns with Trent Williams and Ayuk and their holdout, and hey, are you mm-hmm. a little worried about health and Super Bowl hangover and all of those things? Even with all that, the talent is massive, and that's why they're a top four offense for me.
Yeah, for me, I kind of, you know, same concept. In terms of the receivers, when they're all at their best, it's crazy to watch. They're just moving. We got Christian McCaffrey, as you mentioned, Debo, Brandon Ayuk. It's just, they just, you could get those balls anywhere in space, those dudes the ball anywhere in space, and boom. You know, they're creating a 1 yard catch and a probably 8+ easy. You know what I mean? So for them, I think, if I'm saying someone's limiting them, probably Brock Purdy still. Honestly, I don't know how people will still feel about him. But that's probably the one thing that I'd say they could probably improve upon anywhere, I guess. I don't know. We just need them to stay healthy, and we'll see how dangerous they'll be for sure.
I agree with you. Rounding out the top five for me, I have the Ravens. You talked about the addition of Derrick Henry. I love that for their run game. Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson is like the perfect Thunder Lightning QBRB combo. Excited to see what Todd Monken does in year two as the OC. You mentioned some of the passing game weapons. If Mark Andrews is healthy, fantastic. Zay Flowers was electric as a rookie. I think he's going to get better. You still have Rashad Bateman on the outside. They are going through a little bit of transition with their O-line. Right, their O-line is going to look a lot different this year, but they did, you know, they added Rosengarten from Washington, who I liked. Little different kind of O-lineman than what you're used to seeing in Baltimore. You know, a lot of times you see those big mauling type dudes, and Rosengarten's a little bit different, a little smaller, more agile. And so maybe that's pointing to a shift in Todd Monken, what he wants to be able to do with Lamar. But you touched on most of the points. There's a big reason why they're a top five offense. I think their ceiling is really high, and they're going to be really efficient because they can run the ball so well.
Yeah, for five, I took the Dolphins. We still got Tua there. Got his bread. We got Tyreek Hill, of course, Eric Waddle. We got OBJ coming in. Trying to think who the running back. Oh, we got Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert still there at running back. So I think if they're moving, like we said, like with the same thing with the Niners, if they're all just putting in the work, the receivers alone, just Tyreek, that elevates your game not much.
Yeah.
Alone with Waddle, who, great dude, great number two. And then the backfield, two dynamic dudes. Mostert is a little bit older, so I'm assuming if Devon Achane can stay healthy, he's taking the load for sure. And so I think they were doing great whenever they were at home, on the road, you know, it's a different story. They just got to, I guess, get schemed up right with Mike McDaniel, and they'll be making some moves too.
Yeah, I have the Dolphins at six here, so we'll just piggyback right off of that. You know, I think a lot of people may be surprised just based on the way they ended the season to see the Dolphins in our top 10, but since Mike McDaniel's been there, they've essentially been a top 10 offense in the regular season. There's a big difference between regular season football and postseason football. And we're talking about regular season efficiency right now. And this team is definitely that. Tua with the quick rhythm passing game is fantastic. You know, Mike McDaniel is as good a schemer in the run game as anybody in the NFL. And, you know, the receivers, obviously that quick motion that they got, the cheap motion last year, and, you know, all the stuff that they've innovated.
Yeah, they rock that.
You know, you love all that. You mentioned Tua got paid. You know, we'll see what that means moving forward for them in the future. But for right now, they still have a lot of weapons on that offense. I think the big worry and why they might not be higher on the list here is just that their O-line, they lost Robert Hunt in free agency, who is one of their better guards. You know, you're still relying on Teron Armstead to stay healthy, and that seems like that sort of never happens. So when he's there, he's good, but he's just not always there. So that's probably the biggest worry of anything. But because they run the ball so much and their passing game is really dependent on getting the ball out quick, I think that bodes well for an offensive line that maybe isn't as good all the time. And Mike McDaniel does as good a job as scheming that up as anybody. So who do you have at six?
For me, I took the Colts. So this might be a little surprise to some people, but they did well last year with Gardner Minshew. They just got back Anthony Richardson, my dude's back from his injury, and they added Adonai Mitchell in the draft. Michael Pittman out there. They still got Jonathan Taylor. I'm trying to think. There's another receiver that. Oh no, I don't know.
Adonai Mitchell.
No. I mentioned him. I'm trying to think.
Alec Pierce from Cincinnati.
I don't think that's the guy I'm thinking of. But yeah, he is there too.
Josh Downs.
All right, tight end.
Little slot from UNC. Mo Alley Cox, the tight end.
Oh no, okay, this is looking bad. I like the receiving corps. We'll say that for sure.
Okay,
Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson being back, I think is gonna be a huge bump. They barely miss playoffs last year with Gardner Minshew, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, having him back will be huge. He played, I think, the first like five games or something, maybe even less. And so being able to have him extend plays, you know, get the dudes open and in space while all like scrambling and whatnot is gonna be crazy to see. I think they're definitely contending for a playoff position this year. Just health again, because I mean, if you're coming off an injury as a quarterback, there's already something that possible be lingering, whether you feel it or not. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I think with him being back, that's a huge boost to the morale and just how I view their offense as a whole.
So the Colts were probably the first shocker for me in your rankings that I was like, oh, we differ quite a bit on them. The Colts will come up much later in my rankings. And I'll get to that when I'm there, but I do think that offense is a high ceiling. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I think it just have to be the peak of its potential to be this high.
Yeah,
but I think it's possible. At seven, I have the Texans. You kind of mentioned a lot of it. The addition of Joe Mixon maybe helps that running game. Their O-line should be much better this year. Healthier, hopefully. Despite all that, last year Stroud was still incredible as a rookie. You've got Tank Dell, you've got Nico Collins, you add Stephon Diggs, you've got the tight end whose name I'm blanking on right now, Dalton Schultz, that's who it is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you put all that together, and I may be too low on them at seven. I mean, if we're being honest, I think I just am always weary of the team that everyone wants to anoint in the offseason because
yeah,
they added a couple names, right? Like Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon are on the back half of their career. So, and there's a reason their teams were willing to part with them. Now, the talent and the name recognition is immense, and that offense was already really good. But that's where I think maybe I get worried is like, you know, do egos start coming into play?
Yeah.
Start having issues there. But like,
Stephon for sure.
For the most part, I think this offense, obviously, I still believe in its capabilities. I have them seventh in the NFL. It's not like I have them at 20. But I think that's probably why I didn't go higher with them than this.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was on paper, it sounds great. You know what I mean? That's probably why mine's so high.
On paper, it is. It is ceiling first best offense in the NFL, no doubt. I mean, it is. So I'm
this
with
where,
you.
Yeah, right here at seven is where I took the Rams. I mean, you mentioned most of them, and I kind of put my two cents in earlier. I think it's just we just got to see how it plays out. I'm ready. Scoop, get those coming back soon. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. At eight, I have the Packers. I mean, Jordan Love, another quarterback who got breaded.
Yeah.
Yep. I love their receiver core. Like, there's a million dudes you can name.
Christian Watson,
Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs. There's another name. I mean,
they brought in Josh Jacobs.
They brought in Josh Jacobs at the running back position to go with. AJ Dillon,
yeah.
And then they got the tight ends that they drafted last year, Musgrave and the South Dakota State kid whose name once again I'm blanking on, but you pair all of those weapons and that potential and they're all young. Mm-hmm. I mean the oldest dude on there
they did last year.
They're all, the oldest dude on their offense is like might be like Josh Jacobs or AJ Dillon. like one of those backs. Like that might be the oldest guy on like a really young core offense that is potentially really special. And then Matt LaFleur calling plays is proven that he's one of the better ones. I think you put all that together and that this offense has the potential to be a lot higher than even number eight. And I think we've said that about a few of these teams. You know, I said that about the Texans as well. It's just, you know, you want to see it, but man, the way they played in the back half of the season last year, they are a tough offense to stop. I mean, they made that Cowboys.
Niners.
Yeah, they made the Cowboys defense look helpless, and the Cowboys were one of the better defenses in the NFL last year. So this offense is ridiculous. It's electric. I think it has great potential.
Yeah, no, I agree. At eight, I took the Falcons. Might be another one of the shockers, but I think the addition of our guy Kirko Thuggins coming in is going to be crazy. Just a matter of how soon he could get up to speed. They have Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan. Like, they got a nice core. And then, obviously, we're talking offense, but they brought in some dudes for defense, which was going to be something else, too. But in terms of getting the dudes the ball, this is probably the first time they've had someone that would be able to do that. Just older Kirk, though, which is kind of one of the issues, and then having that injury to the Achilles, how long it'll take for him to truly be back. But what if they're rolling, man? Just Bijan, the trio right there. Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. You got one in every position that you need for the skills. I think that's got a recipe for some success.
Interesting thing with the Falcons is Michael Penix plays in one preseason game, and then they're like, oh, he looks good. Shut him down. And they don't play him in the last two preseason games. And I don't know. I'm just saying, are they tipping their hand on what they might do, even though they paid Kirk Cousins all the money? Just saying, that's a weird move to make. Like, you would want, especially if you know you're not going to play your rookie quarterback, wouldn't you want him to get as many reps as possible?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. Not obviously reporting anything. It's not like I'm an insider. Just saying it's a strange move.
I guess, and it could be maybe you're trying to trade him or something. I don't know. But like, you see what he did in that game? Do you want this guy?
Yeah, they wouldn't have taken him eighth overall if they were going to trade him, though.
That's also very true.
I honestly think it'd be more likely that they might trade Cousins and try and just go to Penix if they were going to do anything. But anyway, it's just a weird – it's the only thing that makes me, like, pause on the Falcons is I'm like, that's a weird situation. Yeah. I don't know.
That is true.
At nine, I have the Bengals. I think they take a small step back from what they were last year, given that they did lose Joe Mixon, but they have kept most of their receiver core intact.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase, they got to figure that out. T. Higgins, they got to figure that out.
I think that's why I have them a little lower. But yeah.
Then, and they lost Tyler Boyd, but they did draft Ilyasovas last year and this year Jermaine Burton. And I think those guys are good enough that they're going to kind of replace the Tyler Boyd production. I think they're going to be fine there. They even have Charlie Jones from Purdue, who's another kid who they drafted a couple years ago that I think can give them production. So I'm not worried about their receiver room. Their receiver room, despite losing Tyler Boyd, is still very, very good. It's Joe Burrow healthier than we may have seen him in a couple of years, hopefully, as long as, you know, he recovers from the injury he had last year. And also last year, they were still able to be very, very functional despite playing with Jake Browning. And I think they did some stuff.
I liked him.
With Browning under center and back to the defense, you know, on play action stuff, like more of the traditional stuff that Zach Taylor comes from, which is the McVay style of offense, that I think they can incorporate with Joe Burrow now that Joe Burrow got to sit and watch and see that be successful even without him out there. You can start doing more of that stuff. I think it helps the efficiency of this offense. I think the big question mark right now, above all else, is like, what production are they getting out of the running backs? They've got Chase Brown, and they drafted out of Illinois last year. And you know, we'll see what they do there. But as long as they can get some production in the run game, I think they're going to still be a top 10 offense because those receivers and Joe Burrow at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reason I got them a little bit lower is just at the time it was big question marks. Now there's a little bit less, you know, but still trying to figure out the people's bread at the receiving core. And the running backs are Like the Brown dude, he did nice at the end of the year. It's just taking on a full load, you know, being up there with a bigger role might be a little tough. And then I will say the one thing about Jake Burrow, I wonder if, because he had the wrist issue, I wonder if they never threw him really under there because they knew he had that, you know what I mean, under center like that. Because he was a big gun dude, so I don't know. Something to think about, I guess.
I think it's been historically his preference before the injury that he just wanted to be in the gun so he could, and he didn't like turning his back to the defense because he wants to see everything and process everything in real time.
Yeah.
I think, though, that this last year maybe helps convince him, like, hey, you don't always have to do that. You can get some gimme throws off play action. So we'll see, though. We'll see if that offense does change a little bit. Who do you have at 9?
Oh, yeah, I had the Packers right here. So, I mean, we don't got to say too much about it. We talked about them at 8. I kind of try to chime in there, too.
At 10, I have the Eagles. I like the addition of Kellen Moore as the OC. Kind of puts a barrier between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, who apparently don't have the best relationship, we've heard. Jalen Hurts is healthy, I think, which he was not last year.
No,
you had Saquon. You have Saquon Barkley, right? At running back now.
Yep.
It's very, like where I said, the Ravens, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Thunder Lightning QB combo. It's kind of the opposite. Thunder, Lightning, QB, RB combo here with Jalen Hurts is more the Thunder. Saquon's the Lightning. And I like that pairing as well.
Yeah, that is nice.
As long as both stay healthy. That's the thing with both of them. And similarly with Lamar and Derrick Henry. But as long as they're both healthy, I think I like the, you know, the receiver room is interesting because as far as a tandem of top two receivers,
it looks great.
AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are two of the, that's up there with, you know, the Waddle Hill combination in Miami and Ayuk and Debo and San Francisco. Like there's some really good, you know, Cup and Nakua in LA.
Yeah.
But after those two, it gets really weird. It's really, really weird, really fast. Now, they did just add Jahan Dotson in that trade.
Very true.
That could make a huge difference. And when, once again, we talked about these rankings, we made these a couple weeks ago. Didn't know Jahan Dotson was going to be there, a couple weeks ago when I made these rankings. That might change. Maybe they're a little higher, but also I still need to see it because they were so dysfunctional and bad at the end of last season. So I still need to see it, but I do like that addition. I do think it raises their ceiling a little bit. So,
yeah, I had them a little lower. I think the addition of Saquon is huge. Like last year they had DeAndre Swift and they had a good running back room. They just never knew what to do at the right time. They just, it was just like, eeny, meeny, miny, you go this time. You know what I mean? It was weird. But at 10, I took the Chiefs. I think this is kind of, this is where I was thinking age, you know, Travis Kelce being pretty much their ball getter at his age, I think is kind of tough to do. Younger receiving core. And I mean, Pacheco's still there. He's nice, but I think I was just, as a whole, it's like, you know, they, we got question marks, but they're still top 10 in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like we see them perform in the playoffs every year. There's no need to doubt them anywhere. It's just how good do I think they're going to be?
Yeah, fair. Moving it down the list here, we go to the next group of 10. We're now 11 through 20 here. At 11, I took Josh Allen and the Bills. I said Josh Allen because that is the Bills offense.
Yeah.
There's definitely question marks at receiver. How good will Keon Coleman be right away as a rookie? Mm-hmm. Right? Can you depend on Khalil Shakir full time? Which I do love his talent, and I do think you probably can. Obviously, I have them as high as 11. Dalton Kincaid, you know, how is he going to be in year two? Can he be a guy who controls more targets this year? There's just a lot of replacing happening. However, it does feel like, okay, James Cook at running back, we figured that out last year. We ran the ball a lot better. Yep. The O-line is still pretty good. So there, all that means if Josh Allen plays like an MVP, this is a top five offense. But it's just, there's just so many question marks and youth at the skill positions that I just want to see it a little bit before I'm ready to commit to it. But I obviously I still like them a lot, and that's why I have them at 11.
Mm. Yeah, here I took the Jets. We got Aaron Rodgers coming back healthy, hopefully. I mean, he played 4 snaps last year. I was big on Aaron Rodgers last year. We know that. I had them winning it all, and he didn't even get out of his first series. You know
what I mean? He didn't even get out of the first series.
And so, I mean, and we got Garrett Wilson, we got Breece Hall. Breece Hall is going to be looking nice, especially if he's got someone that could actually feed him the ball in space with like some nice little dump offs. I mean, shoot. Randall Cobb, I think he's still there, which is kind of crazy. That dude's only like 33 or something. People probably don't know that. Yeah, I think this one's just big Aaron Rodgers is back. You know what I mean? This is the one piece they were missing last year, according to everyone. So we'll see how true that statement is.
Yep, we will see. I'll save my comments for the Jets a couple more here. At 12, I've got the Cowboys. A lot of guys trying to get paid. This was like the number one offense in terms of points in 2023. Obviously, I'm thinking they're going to take a decent-sized step. Yeah, decent-sized step back. You know, Dak had no resolution there. CeeDee Lamb holding out, no resolution there. Their lead running back is Ezekiel Elliott, and it's not 2015. It's not 2015 anymore. It's 2024, right? So that's not really a good thing, I would say. Their O-line is... It's not as good as it's been, I think. I don't know. I just think the Cowboys have mismanaged roster construction on offense, and they're putting a lot on Dak Prescott to be like MVP level while also acknowledging maybe he's not that because they haven't given him a contract yet. And if they really thought he was that, then wouldn't he already be paid? The whole thing doesn't make a ton of sense logically to me with the Cowboys. There's still enough talent there that they're like a top half of the league offense, especially considering they were number one in points last year. Like they were the best offense in terms of scoring points, which is the primary like focus of offense, right? So you could argue they're the best offense in the league last year. But all that being said, I think they take a big step back here. And that's why I have them at 12.
Yeah, I think Jerry Jones is just, he needs to figure it out. He's like Homelander right now. The gif where he's like looking around and then he just starts smiling like he as a whole the team looks great, maybe not the running back room, but when you take it to the core with him at the top, it's like you got to figure something out along the way because we're on the verge of being really good again and we're kind of losing it all that steam, you know what I mean? But here I took the Bengals. I kind of touched on it a little bit. I think just the fact that they hadn't paid any of their dudes, it seems like the morale's low right now. And the loss of Joe Mixon kind of brought them a couple steps back for me from where you had them. But, I mean, with Joe Burrow coming back, Browning did great last year at the end of the year. I had him on my fantasy team, actually. I picked him up. And so, yeah, I still think they're very solid, better than half the league, you know what I mean? But just a matter of how long it takes for them to be cohesive as a whole group and not play the individual game about their bread, you know what I mean?
At 13, I have the Seattle Seahawks. Ryan Grubb, all he does is create explosive plays. He was the offensive coordinator at University of Washington last year. There's a reason he got this job. He's innovative. He does a lot of fun things with the downfield passing attack. I think he fits Geno Smith and this offense perfectly. If Tyler Lockett is healthy and stays explosive with DK and the running back Charbonnet and Kendall Walker and JSN. Like I think this offense has the potential to be extremely explosive, if not, you know, maybe sometimes inefficient because their O-line's not what it needs to be, I think. But their O-line kind of wavers. Sometimes it seems really good. Sometimes it's not so good. And then I think Geno Smith is very good. I still think your ceiling's like a little limited with him as your quarterback, but he's good enough that with Ryan Grubb as his OC and all these weapons that this offense can be really explosive at times. And I think there'll be weeks where we're like, dang, the Seahawks went and scored 40 today. You know what I mean? Because they just put out together a game plan that really takes advantage of a defense's weaknesses and they get the ball to their playmakers to be explosive. And they have a lot of those kind of dudes on that offense. So I really like their ceiling. I just think they may not be as consistent as some of the teams above them week to week because I think their O-line is inefficient. And Geno Smith every so often has a like a little bit of a stinker, but yeah, he's generally been very good since getting the starting job there.
I think that was my biggest issue for them, why I got them even lowered, like a lot lower. There's like one of the first ones where it's like a lot, where I think Geno's just older, and same with Tyler Lockett, and those are like half the team. Like when he was down bad, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was his go-to receiver, so it's like, I don't know about that. But if they get the run game going, feed the other dudes, like they got potential to be pretty solid. And here, this is where I kind of get burned, huh? We got Jahan Dotson leaving. I thought they still had Curtis Samuel. But
I will tell you, though, I think them trading Jahan Dotson means they really like Luke McCaffrey. That's what that means.
Yeah, that is true.
So that's, I think you're – I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily if you're a Commanders fan that they traded him away. I think it means they have real confidence in that receiver core. So take that for what you will.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then, you know, rookie quarterback, this kind of like – that probably like a peak, you know, and we kind of said that a couple of times for the teams I've picked as high as I have, where we're kind of saying, hey, Jaden Daniels coming in, he's gonna be the dude. You feed him with some RPO, maybe even like some play action or zone read. Yeah. There you go. See, I'm not in my bag right now.
I mean, it could be zone read, power read, counter read, but yeah, some read game with the quarterback and the run game is definitely in play.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that dynamic is a whole, like, we could see how it was with RG3 on quite literally. Like, we mentioned that plenty of times leading up to this. RG3, when he was a rookie, balled out, unfortunately, lost his leg, basically. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the receiver room, but I really did like this core receivers as over the last couple of years as we've done this. So we'll see what happens.
I'm with you. I actually, when I mentioned I moved some teams around, Washington was a team I moved up despite trading Jahan Dotson. I don't have them as high as you do.
Yeah.
They're in this group of, if you're looking on the screen, they're in this group here. And I'll get to them in a little bit. I at 14, I've got the Jets. The only reason they're this low is just, can we see them be healthy? Can we see the O-line actually improved in real games? But that's for the most part, talent-wise, this is another team ceiling very high. Aaron Rodgers, if he's at his best, with Garrett Wilson, with Breece Hall, with Mike Williams, and all the stuff they've got going on, and then a better O-line, they have the potential to be electric for sure. I don't think they will be, because I still think there's going to be some bumps in the road here and there. Nathaniel Hackett is the OC. I think that's basically gives Aaron Rodgers the ability to basically be the OC, which I think could be really good sometimes and not so good sometimes. So I really do think this team could be very, very good, but also potentially not so good if the health doesn't work. So this is kind of the high risk, high reward team to me. Mm-hmm. That's why I have them right in the middle of the pack, and that's why I'm at 14.
Yeah, so right here I took the Browns. I didn't know they had Jerry Jeudy, so that's kind of huge. They got Amari Cooper still, you know, our guy. Nick Chubb will be coming back at some point. I think right here the hardest one is Deshaun Watson in terms of, you know, who's the question mark on the offense. But, I mean, we've seen him at the better half of his career before, you know, he stepped away. And if he could get somewhere near that, he'll be nice, especially with our guy Njoku. That's another weapon that's just crazy. He balled out last year with some crazy circumstances. So, I mean, I see this team being pretty solid. And then, like, that division as a whole is going to be crazy to watch going forward again. So, I will be loved seeing that.
For whatever reason, I'm just real low on the Browns. I've like, the more I think about that, we've been saying, can Deshaun Watson get to the level he was at 5 years ago for 5 years? So I'm kind of out on that now. And I think that's why they're not even in my top 20, despite like Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Nick Chubb, David Njoku, like O-line pretty solid, play caller pretty solid, like 2-time coach of the year at the Stefanski, you know, at this point, like proven that he's a pretty good head coach, pretty good play caller, all that. But it's just like, man, this offense was at its best when Joe Flacco was at the helm last year.
That's a fact.
So, like, I don't know. I just can't do it. I'm not doing it. I'm not buying the Browns. I'm not going to do it. at 15, I've got the Falcons. Okay, this is right in the sweet spot where I think they land, because there's some questions at quarterback. They both, either one of them is an upgrade over Desmond Ridder, whoever it is. It's as clear as day that that will happen. That'll just be better there. The Falcons are another team, though, that for like 3 years we've been saying, oh, look at all the skill positions. Look at this. Look at that. They should take another step forward. Another team that I'm just like, okay, well, I got to see it first. I do think Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson are all fun weapons. Tyler Allgeier is underrated. There's a reason Bijan gets some carries taken away, and that's because Tyler Allgeier is pretty good. You know, I think they did add some stuff in the way of receiver that will help. But overall, I just want to see it. I really do like Zach Robinson, though, as their play caller. And their O-line is potentially pretty good. But once again, I need to see Kirk Cousins coming off of an Achilles injury be right. Or I need to see Michael Penix as a rookie being right. Like those two, that's still, again, better than Desmond Ridder, but still huge question marks in either case. So I'm not ready to put him higher than 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I got the Eagles right here. I think it's just they got a 1-2 at the receiver, and then it kind of, you know, where does it go? You know, and then Jalen Hurts possibly being full potential again. Never really specified that, I don't think, over the course of the end of last year of him being hurt or not. But adding Saquon was huge. I do like that a lot. It gives them a nice solidified number one running back. So I think they're better than half the league, so that's why I got them here. Just, I think the receiver core at the backside is, you know, very questionable.
Okay, at 16, I've got the Chargers, Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh. Run game, Herbert better. Like, I just, to me, I know the receivers are not what they are, which is why this offense, I couldn't rank them higher. Yeah, but if you look at Jim Harbaugh's tenure in his career, when has he ever had elite receivers? Like, ever. At Michigan, pretty much never. Like, they lived on guys like Roman Wilson, who was very, very good. Keep in mind, very good. But no one was looking at him like, oh my gosh, he's going to be a top something pick in the draft, right? Mm-hmm. You know who's very similar to Roman Wilson? Ladd McConkey. He'll probably be really good in this offense. There's a reason they chose the two pass rushers and they let the two receivers walk, because this offense, it's not predicated on that. Even go back to San Francisco. The best receiver he ever coached there was like Michael Crabtree, who was pretty good, but like, once again, was never lived up to the draft status of what he was supposed to be coming out of Texas Tech. So I don't have a ton of worry about this offense being really good, because they're going to run the heck out of the football. Yeah. They've got a couple backs that I think can do it well, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, and I think that's going to look good. And then Herbert's still going to be really good in the passing game. So I've got this offense right around the middle of the pack. They're going to be pretty good. There'll probably be some bumps in the road. Herbert coming off a little bit of an injury, but I trust in Herbert and Harbaugh.
Yeah, this is where I took the Cowboys. I think, I mean, they got predominantly one receiver, C.D. Lamb, who's holding out, as we mentioned already. So it is what it is. Running back, they lost their guy, Pollard. He went to the Titans. And so brought back Zeke. Like, I don't know. It just looks like they don't got much going on. But with what Dak did at the end, like in the, during the whole season, I should say, he was balling. He was feeding the rock to almost as much of people as he could that weren't CD. But it's just a matter of losing some of the running back room and then bringing in the older dude. Like, I don't know how it all plays out. But if Dak could return how he was last year, I think they could still be better than half the league.
I like it. Okay, we're in the back half of the league now. I think we'll go a little quicker. I've got 17. I've got the Colts. This is one that I already mentioned earlier, like way different than you. Yeah. I love Anthony Richardson's potential, but he's basically still a rookie quarterback. Think he's going to make some mistakes despite the weapons they have. And Shane Steichen is going to do a really good job, I think, of putting him in good positions. The potential, this is another one of those offenses that I think has high potential if it reaches its peak. But I also like, is what if he gets hurt again? Because that's real possible. Like really, really possible.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, is he going to be healthy the whole year? So even though they were 11th in points last year without Anthony Richardson, for the most part, and Shane Steichen's really good, still have question marks on this offense.
Here I took the Steelers. I think that kind of, I think I took all the other dudes in their division already. But I think the biggest question mark is quarterback. But outside of that, they got good running back room. They got Najee still and our guy, Jaylen Warren. Receiver, I don't know. But Pat Freiermuth, tight end, you know what I mean? It's just they got to figure out what they're doing at the QB. They don't know if it's Fields or Russ. It's all bad. And this is one of those things a couple weeks ago before preseason, it was like, this is what I thought. You know what I mean? And here we are. Yeah. And now it's even worse than what we think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. At 18, I've got the Commanders. I love the talent that they have on this offense. It's just really young. I think Kliff will do a really good job as the OC there. I think they could be the team that kind of shocks the league this year in general, not just on offense, but as a whole. So I love Jaden Daniels with that, with Terry McLaurin and all the weapons they have on that offense. Luke McCaffrey, I think, is going to be pretty good. So I like what they've got. They even have a veteran with Zach Ertz, you know, to help. But I think they could be a lot better than people might expect.
Mm-hmm. And 18, I took the Bills. I kind of touch on it already. I don't know how they feel about the receiver room. A lot different than what we've seen in the past. But Josh Allen and James Cook coming back, solid duo right there.
At 19, I took the Chicago Bears. The infrastructure for a rookie quarterback is there. They have a really good receiver room. I like Swift as the running back. Caleb Williams has looked the part in preseason football. It's very similar to the Commanders. It's just that it's young. And Shane Waldron is a good play caller. Not sure if he's great. I think I like a little bit of what Washington has a little bit more. I mean, these two were very neck and neck to me, Washington and Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I just think I like Washington's play. I like Kliff a little bit more than Shane Waldron. But if Caleb Williams looks how he looks in preseason right now, it could potentially be very scary. So I got the Bears.
19, I have the Chargers. I mean, I do like the running back room. I almost took Gus Edwards in my fantasy draft. Ladd McConkey, I think, should be great. We've seen what he did in college, and he's got a great quarterback now. It's just the other receivers, I don't know. Quentin Johnson, that dude's probably still at the bottom of the depth chart. Don't know how they feel about that pick because that's unfortunate. So that's why I got them a little bit lower than you.
Okay, at 20, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence has looked really good in preseason football. Doug Peterson is a good designer of offense. He's not been the one calling it. That's Press Taylor. I do have question marks about Press Taylor as the OC and actually calling the plays. I do wonder if Doug Peterson maybe takes the play calling responsibility back at some point. They are going to have some new weapons. You know, they've drafted a rookie receiver from LSU. They signed Gabe Davis. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of turnover there, but I like Travis Etienne. O-line should be okay. Trevor Lawrence, if he can be healthy and more efficient, this offense could be a lot better. But it wasn't great, and they turned over some weapons, and I'm not sure how I feel about where they're at. So, I think they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack offense.
Yeah, this one where I'm going to get burned from doing it a couple weeks ago because no more JJ. Kind of tough. They were looking nice that first week, but the loss of him, kind of tough. But they do got Sam Darnold going forward. We got J.J. Jordan Addison. You know, now he's gone to whatever injury that was. It's just like, I got burned. They just had the injury bug in that first week. And, you know, but they had the potential to look amazing for sure.
Maybe next year. Yeah. 21, I've got the Cleveland Browns. And really, it just comes down to everything's in place, but can Deshaun Watson ever be himself? Also, Nick Chubb had a really bad injury. Like, is he actually going to be Nick Chubb? And that's the basis of this Browns offense was that run game. So I don't know. I'm just not a huge believer. Even though the skill talent is significant, I just don't know if I believe in Deshaun Watson and or Nick Chubb being healthy.
Yeah, 21, I got the Seahawks. I kind of touched on it. I felt like they're a little bit older. And quick question though, did you see the picture of Geno from last year to this year?
No,
bro, the headshot on that looks wild. It looked like my man was ran through it. So I don't know if that played a factor at the time. I don't even know if that was out yet. But yeah, I think just the Seahawks seem a little bit older. I don't know, We'll see what happens.
At 22, I have the Buccaneers.
Same.
Yeah. This is the other one that I said. I mentioned we had two that were the same, the 49ers and the Buccaneers. We think exactly the same here. I think the loss of Dave Canales is significant. Mm-hmm. And my question is Baker Mayfield really that good? And I guess we'll find out this year.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans, a little bit older. I think he got a little bit bread on top. Finally, we'll see if he can get 1,000 yards, I guess. Keep the streak rolling.
Yeah.
23, I took the Cardinals on this one. I think they just look a little younger, you know. Marvin Harrison Jr., Kyler, James Conner still there, running back. He's a good piece. I don't know who their tight end is. You said Zach Ertz went somewhere, so I don't know. Can't control too much on the offense, but I think they could be very solid, especially with the young talented receiver coming in.
I actually like that. I think I think the Cardinals might be a team that if I do this again and before the season, higher. I might move them up a little bit because Marvin Harrison Jr. has looked the part and Kyler Murray's healthy. At 23, I have the Steelers. Running back, O-line, wide receiver one, tight ends are all really good. No question marks in any of those spots. The two question marks, who's the quarterback and who's the wide receiver two?
Yeah.
And those are both fair question marks. Now, if this offense trades for Brandon Ayuk and Justin Fields or Russell Wilson step up, all of a sudden this offense could go from being bottom half the league to, whoa, this offense is really, really good. Yeah. So, they're two question marks away from being good, but those question marks are so big, especially at quarterback. And they made smart decisions, not having to invest a lot in getting those two guys, but it kind of looks like those guys are showing why they didn't have to invest a lot to get them. Unfortunately, the ceiling of this offense might be, let's go with Justin Fields and let's run the heck out of the ball. And let's make sure Justin Fields can just be a playmaker in the run game. And he just has to do just enough in the passing game because their defense is going to be elite. And that might be enough to make them a playoff team, but we'll see. At 24, I had the Vikings. I did do this post. You know, like I said, this is a team I moved down. I did have them a little higher. Mm-hmm. I moved them down because of the Addison jersey injury more than anything. But, yeah, I thought JJ was going to be pretty good this year in that offense with Kevin O'Connell as the OC. Darnold, I think, will still be okay. They just, you know, the injury bug and – I do like the addition of Aaron Jones. I think he can still be pretty good. Definitely an upgrade in their running back room. They still have a really, really good O-line. They have great weapons at receiver and tight end. It really just comes down to like Sam Darnold being, can he just be efficient, not throw a ton of picks, and we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 24. We were almost close on this one, 24 and 25. I took the Saints, and then you took them right after, I think.
Yep.
I mean, they still got the same core that they've had for I don't know how long, right? Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Yeah, it's an Alvin aging Kamara. Group.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's like Derek Carr, quarterback, maybe potentially Spencer Rattler. Chase, I know you're out there clamming at the TV, not wanting to see that. But yeah, I know. Yeah, I think they're just a little older team, but they'll probably figure it out down the road and the division as a whole. You know, that's the classic.
Like, yeah,
you just got to do enough.
Yeah. I don't have much more to say on the Saints there. It's an aging group.
Yeah.
It's an OC that I'm not sure I trust. It's Derek Carr, who I've always been higher on than everybody else, but at this point in his career with this group, this OC, not sure there's much he can do to rectify that situation.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be middling. And to back half, obviously, is what we think.
Yeah. And right 25, I took the Bears. I think the biggest question mark, of course, is Caleb Williams. He's looked great so far. Don't get me wrong. But This was preseason, so I mean, at the time I was like, I like all the outside, and we just gotta figure out what Caleb Williams can do.
26, I had the Cardinals. I mentioned it. I love Kyler Murray with Marvin Harrison Jr. Outside of those guys, I think they have some work to do, but they could be kind of a sneaky, like tougher offense to defend week to week, which is why I said if I do this again, I might have them higher than some of the other teams I'm sitting here looking at. So I think their ceiling's definitely higher than 26, but that's where I have them.
Yeah, 26, I took the Titans. I think we just got to see Will Levis improve still. A little bit older receiver room. They got D-Hop, brought in Calvin Ridley. I do like the people. Just a little bit older. They got Tony Pollard. As I said, they got him from the Cowboys. So, yeah, we'll just see what happens there. It looks like a solid team, just not, you know, better than most.
Yeah, I have him at 27, so I'm right behind you once again. And I think it's kind of a transition year, going to Brian Callahan, new offensive philosophy. Will Levis, it's like 50-50 after his rookie year, whether or not he's actually going to be a legitimate starting quarterback. Yeah, the weapons are older, but like could potentially be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not much more to say. If Will Levis is really good, that offense is probably a lot better than 27.
That's true. 27, I took the Jaguars like preseason. The way they finished last year was not good. I was big on them last year as a whole, and it's just they burned my heart. So I was like, you know what? They're getting the punishment on this for sure. But I mean, I think they got some good dudes. They brought in, you know, Brian Thomas. Well, they got Gabe Davis now, didn't they? So, yeah, I mean, I think they got a solid group. It's just a matter of being able to go and perform this year compared to last year.
At 28, I have the Broncos. I think the pairing of Sean Payton and Bo Nix looks like it's going to be really good.
Crazy.
I think it's going to be really good. I think it's just Bo Nix as a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes. There will be growth, and there will be opportunities to get better. I think Sean Payton will get the best out of him. I think this may be an offense that next year we're saying, hey, this offense is really good. But this year with the rookie quarterback and all the things that are different, they're a back half offense.
Yeah. I mean, they look nice. Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. Running back room's a little weird. They still don't know if they're going Jaleel or, you know, Javonte, kind of weird there, but they got a solid group. It's just how good Bo could be. It's how high they end up. 28, I took the Raiders, though. I mean, they solidified Gardner Minshew since we've done this, so there's something, but they got him, Devontae. We'll see what happens. I don't know. There's not much going on there, I don't think.
Two tight end system, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers. Both those guys are potentially very good, but they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they have an unreliable quarterback.
Brock outside. I don't know. He's not the traditional tight end.
Yeah. At 29, I have the Giants. Their skill players upgraded a little bit with Malik Nabers coming in.
Nice.
They didn't sufficiently replace Saquon Barkley, if you ask me. I mean, now they brought in Devin Singletary. He's going to be okay, but he's not Saquon. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Jones is their quarterback. And I'm sorry, he's not a $40 million quarterback. It's just, it is what it is. And they're going to be a team drafting a quarterback next year. That's just where we're at.
Yeah, I had them at 30. I don't know. Same thing. Feels weird. They don't. Saquon was their whole offense, and now he's gone. So I don't know. 29, yeah. I got the Broncos, though. Piggybacking you from 28. I think, you know, if this is when I went back, I'd probably move them higher because Bo was looking nice.
At 30, I have the Panthers. I think Dave Canales is going to help Bryce Young. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just think their skill players around him are not that good.
Yeah,
but I think he'll make him more efficient. They'll see some bright spots this year. Jordan Matthews is back in the NFL playing tight end now, even though he's like 36 or something like that. And he's playing for the Panthers. That's kind of fun. Xavier Leggett is like
he's a great personality machine right now. Yeah.
Content machine, maybe. Yeah, they're going to still be bad, but I think Dave Canales makes Bryce Young a little bit better, and they're a little better than they were last year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think they gave him some nice weapons. Just we'll see what happens. That's just, you know, new quarter or new coach, so we'll see what happens. I took the Giants right here at 30.
So the team were universally, so 31 and 32 didn't even make our list here. The team we are both apparently universally out on is the New England Patriots. They are just an offense to me that's devoid of talent everywhere. I mean, obviously Drake May could turn out to be good, but
there was talk of them switching to the other homie from Tennessee,
Joe Milton, and then they also still have, you know, the veteran Jacoby Brissett, who will probably start the season. But
yeah, probably
they got a lot of young receivers that people kind of like, but I don't think any one of them is like a true wide receiver one. I think they can all be like okay, but I don't think anyone's a wide receiver one. I think they're really just devoid of talent. And then for me, the Raiders don't make my list because I think Davante Adams is the only player on their offense that is pretty good.
Yeah, I think the Panthers.
Michael Mayer and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers could both be pretty good. I don't know. I just Gardner Minshew. He had a good year with the Colts last year, but he's going to make a ton of mistakes. I don't know. I'm just not very high on the Raiders. I'm sorry, Raiders fans.
Just wait for Devonta to get traded to the Jets.
Probably very well could happen. So that's our list. Was the biggest surprise to you, Jody?
As of right now, I think probably... I mean, the Steelers for me, that's a bad one, especially now that we know what we know. But going back, I mean, it probably would have made sense. And then I think... Like I said, probably the Broncos would be another one I'd move. Same with the Raiders. Raiders would probably go down.
I think I might move the Cardinals up a little bit. The Broncos, I'm with you. They're a little bit better than what you might expect even with the rookie quarterback. So a couple teams I might move up a little bit, and maybe some teams I might move down a little bit. But overall, I think our lists are pretty solid. We'll see how that plays out next week. We'll do our defensive rankings, and then we'll also get our full preview predictions for the season, who we like, because next weekend is the last weekend without NFL games. So we're really close to it. For now, to finish off this week's episode, we've got the banger of the week. It's my week, so I'm going to go here. Deadpool and Wolverine is an awesome movie. Uh-oh. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's fantastic. It's the first Marvel movie I've watched in like 5 years because I was pretty out. I was just tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much going on. They did a good job of making the movie like accessible to someone who hadn't watched a Marvel movie in 5 years. It played all the hits with Deadpool and Wolverine, like the reasons why you love those characters. Mm-hmm. There's even some funny cameos of other characters in the universe that made it fun. Like definitely I gotten some enjoyment out of that. And overall, it was exactly what I went to and wanted to see in a Deadpool movie, which is a lot of funny jokes, lot of comedy, a lot of good moments, but also a lot of fun, like action scenes, good fights, all that good stuff. And then overall story was good enough to keep me engaged the whole time and invested in what was going to happen. Good movie. Solid movie. Also, do you know about the Pazookie from BJ's?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Fire.
The cookie. It's
my favorite thing. That's why I love going there for my birthday.
Ice cream on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I recently learned that you can go to the store and they sell like the packaging to make an individual Pazookie.
Uh-huh.
And I bought that for Jill and I and then put ice cream on top. And I had my own Pazookie at home last night.
There you go.
And I tell you what, fantastic. Great investment.
Quick question.
If you go to your local Walmart, you'll find it.
Would you not just want to buy cookie dough, get a pan? You know, just flatten it out in the circle and then straight to the oven.
See, but here's the thing. This makes the exact right amount of what you want for, like, you know, if you buy cookie dough, you don't,
it's going to be uneven in some spots and whatnot.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Okay. This makes like the perfect amount. It was nice. It was very good. And it even comes with like the tin can.
Okay. That was my biggest. That's why I brought out the, just buy the cookie dough. I didn't know it came with the pan. That's huge. That's huge.
Perfect. It was fantastic. Warm, little gooey, ice cream on top. Whole deal. Maybe it was nice. Why. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Banger. As we'd say. Anything before we go, Joe?
I mean, I could ask you about Deadpool. Did you ever watch the X-Men series? Any of those? Were you big on those?
I did watch the X-Men movies. Yeah, I watched all the Wolverine and X-Men movies. Yeah.
Okay. See, I was never big on X-Men. I thought they were kind of weird growing up, so I never touched any of them.
They are kind of weird, but
I think I've seen maybe one Wolverine movie. So it's like, I don't know. I might have to go back and watch that before that.
Even with that, you'd get appreciation out of this. Because he and Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds just have clear and obvious chemistry on screen, which makes it fun. Huge. Yeah. So, because they're friends in real life, and I think that made a that's pretty much why this movie happened, honestly. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So it was good.
For sure. Well, yeah. Go check those out. Walmart, the movie theater, do what you will, and you know what they say. Ray Ray, take us out. Everybody wanna be a
beast. Bang. Bang. Ready for war, we've been working all year. Look into my eyes, there's hunger, there's no fear. Fucking like y'all ready, bro, I promise you we coming. Anybody that want it can get it, play it's nothing. We ain't never worried by listening to the chatter, cause when we get on the field, we know that none of it matter. I've been through a lot, man, can't nothing faze me. Got the student section and the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, we putting on a show. Pumas, we be popping and the people, yeah, they love. 951, be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Pumas, everybody know the name. We ain't here to make friends, we gon' let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad full of goons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Tryna act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. We prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night in lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it put on for the city, that's really all that we do. Yeah. Nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime on my grind, I can see him worry. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fumes from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the Pumas, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Thinking you can handle me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put them in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean habit, L's can't have it. We ain't standing around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Puma Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy, keep holding me, man, quit crying. Put your Pumas up, show them Puma Pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. I throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma Pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show them how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah.